Okay, turn in your Bibles to Genesis 27. We'll be reading 1 through 29, and that's on page 25 in your Bible, the Pew Bible. Genesis 27. When Isaac was old and his eyes were dim so that he could not see, he called Esau, his older son, and said to him, "My son," and he answered, "Here I am." He said, "Behold, I am old. I do not know the day of my death. Now then, take your weapons, your quiver and your bow, and go out to the field and hunt game for me, and prepare for me delicious food, such as I love, and bring it to me so that I may eat, that my soul may bless you before I die." Now Rebekah was listening when Isaac spoke to his son Esau. So when Esau went to the field to hunt for game and bring it, Rebekah said to her son Jacob, "I heard your father speak to your brother Esau. Bring me game and prepare for me delicious food that I may eat it and bless you before the Lord before I die. Now therefore, my son, obey my voice as I command you. Go to the flock and bring me 2 good young goats, so that I may prepare from them delicious food for your father, such as he loves. And you shall bring it to your father to eat, so that he may bless you before he dies." But Jacob said to Rebekah, his mother, "Behold, my brother Esau is a hairy man, and I am a smooth man. Perhaps my father will feel me, and I shall seem to be mocking him, and bring a curse upon myself and not a blessing." His mother said to him, "Let your curse be on me, my son. Only obey my voice and go bring them to me." So he went and took them and brought them to his mother, and his mother prepared delicious food such as his father loved. Then Rebekah took the best garments of Esau, her older son, which were with her in the house, and put them on Jacob, her younger son. And the skins of the young goats she put on his hands and on the smooth part of his neck. And she put the delicious food and bread, and the bread which she had prepared, into the hand of her son Jacob. So when he went in to his father and said, "My father," and he said, "Here I am. Who are you, my son?" Jacob said to his father, "I am Esau, your firstborn. I have done as you told me. Now sit up and eat of my game, that your soul may bless me." But Isaac said to his son, "How is it that you have found it so quickly, my son?" He answered, "Because the Lord your God granted me success." Then Isaac said to Jacob, "Please come near, that I may feel you, my son, to know whether you are really my son Esau or not." So Jacob went near to Isaac, his father, and he felt him and said, "The voice is Jacob's voice, but the hands are the hands of Esau." And he did not recognize him, because his hands were hairy like his brother Esau's hands. So he blessed him. He said, "Are you really my son Esau?" He answered, "I am." Then he said, "Bring it near to me, that I may eat of my son's game and bless you." So he brought it near to him, and he ate. And he brought him wine, and he drank. Then his father Isaac said to him, "Come near and kiss me, my son." So he came near and kissed him. And Isaac smelled the smell of his garments and blessed him and said, "See, the smell of my son is as the smell of a field that the Lord has blessed. May God give you of the dew of heaven and of the fatness of the earth and plenty of grain and wine. Let peoples serve you and nations bow down to you. Be lord over your brothers, and may your mother's son bow down to you. Cursed be everyone who curses you, and blessed be everyone who blesses you." The word of the Lord.
Thanks, Tim. There is a lot of extreme dysfunction going on in the family that we just read about. It seems like this should be more of a soap opera episode than something that is in the Bible. This is God's covenant people we're talking about. This is Isaac. This is Jacob. And everyone is acting so despicably toward each other. I remember as a kid growing up hearing this passage, I tended to think how Jacob was the bad guy. Jacob is the deceiver. He's the evil one here in the passage. And poor Esau, who lost his blessing. Poor Isaac, who was lied to by Jacob. But really, everyone is acting pretty poorly. Isaac has his favorite child, Esau, not Jacob. And Isaac wants to give the greater blessing to Esau rather than Jacob. And perhaps Isaac is trying to reverse the giving up of the birthright. Then Esau is going along with it. Then, of course, Jacob is deceiving, and Rebekah is the mastermind of this scheme, and Rebekah is doing a lot of manipulation. Jacob says, well, what if I get cursed? And Rebekah says, well, let the curse be on me, not you. As if a human being could ever bear a curse for another person. A lot of manipulation, a lot of pulling strings here to make it orchestrated her way. So there's a lot of brokenness across everyone. No one comes out as the innocent person in this story. Now, as we look at all of this dysfunction, maybe we wonder, why is this in the Bible? Can we learn possibly anything from a story like this? Well, we can, and it's in the Bible for a reason. There's lots of themes here, so there could be different sermons. But what we're going to focus on this morning is the importance of blessing. That's what this passage reveals to us. The importance of blessing. That's why everyone is fighting over it. That's why Isaac is trying to bless Esau behind the scenes with a greater blessing. This is why Jacob is going to lie and Rebekah is the mastermind. Because blessings were important. I want to talk about how important they were. And as we talk about their importance, hopefully an ache in our own hearts get addressed at the same time. So we've got 3 points this morning. First, the power of blessing. Second, craving blessing. And then third, how we can receive blessing. So first, the power of blessing. We need to realize that in today's culture, we do not understand the power of blessing. We use the word bless or blessing, but our understanding is so wimpy compared to what it was in the ancient times. When we talk about blessing, we use it in the context of conversation fillers. Maybe we're leaving a get-together and we don't know what to say. So instead of saying goodbye, we just say, well, bless you as you walk out. And you don't know what you're saying, and there's no content to that blessing. Or someone sneezes, and we say, bless you. It's just a nice thing to say, no content to that blessing. Now, isn't it true in Dutch or German, bless you is Gesundheit or something like that? I probably butchered the pronunciation of that, but I've heard that said a couple times. Gesundheit. So, or we talk about blessing as a general feeling of happiness or bliss, but again, not a lot of content. So our understanding in our Western culture of blessing is incredibly wimpy. What was blessing back in these ancient times? Well, here's what blessings were. They were deep prophetic utterances, deep prophetic declarations, where a person would look into another soul and make a prophecy about how that person's life is going to go. And oftentimes that prophecy was fulfilled. These blessings were almost like direct revelation from God. That's why they're important. That's why they're powerful. Because they could shape one's destiny. Now, a father would usually bless all of his children. They would get some kind of blessing. But there'd be one child that would get the greatest blessing of all. Just a greater blessing. And that blessing had to do with that person's life going well. It was an affirmation of that person's character and capability. It was an affirmation of this person's spiritual gifts and ability to lead. Because this person would get a greater blessing because likely this person would be a great leader in the family and help hold things together. As one pastor puts it, getting the blessing, the greater blessing from the Father, was like having the Father smile upon you. You had His favor, His affirmation, that you are worth something, you are valuable, you are unique and different from everyone else in the family. You are capable, you're going to go on to bigger and better things. And then they would give that prophetic declaration of how the life is going to go, and that prophecy would come true. So that's how powerful these blessings were. Now, some people wonder, what is the difference between a birthright and blessing? Because Esau earlier gave up his birthright for a bowl of stew. He was hungry, came back famished from hunting all day, and there's Jacob preparing some food. And Jacob says, well, I'll give you a bowl of stew, but you got to give me your birthright. And so Esau sold it just for some food. So what's the difference between birthright and blessing? Well, most of the time, there wasn't a difference. They went hand in hand. But a birthright is the right of a firstborn to a double portion of the father's inheritance. And the reason for that is because the firstborn was expected to be that covenant head of the family. And then later on, as that person got older and the father got older, the father would give blessings to all of his kids. And usually the firstborn would get the greater blessing because he's got the birthright, he's the most capable, he's the favorite of the father. So usually they were together, hand in hand. But not always. Not always. In 1 Chronicles chapter 5, we read that Joseph got the birthright. He got the double inheritance. But then in Genesis 49, we read that Judah, who is fourth in line, gets the greater blessing. Judah is the one that the Messiah is going to come from. And Judah is the one who's going to rule over his brothers and be that covenant head. Joseph wasn't the firstborn, yet he got the blessing. And then Judah didn't get the... Judah got the blessing, but Joseph got the birthright. So hopefully all of this makes sense. Birthright, double portion of inheritance, then blessing was the prediction of the future, and the greater blessing would often go to the firstborn with the birthright. So there's a lot of at stake here with blessings. Esau had already lost his birthright, and it's recognized later on in our passage. And the whole family knows that Esau lost his birthright, but there's still this blessing left. And Isaac was the one who favored Esau the most. And Jacob was favored by Rebekah. But Isaac is the one who gives the blessing. So he was going to give the greater blessing to Esau. And Jacob and Rebekah feared this. And maybe they even feared that Isaac could reverse the selling of the birthright. That this blessing could be so great that Jacob would lose what was given to him. So Jacob and Rebekah plot, and they're going to lie to get that blessing. So this is why everyone is fighting for the blessing. There's power in it. It's going to shape destinies. And the one who got the greater blessing is going to be the one who could be ruler over people and have their life go better. That person would get the favor, the smile, the affirmation of the Father. So while the power of blessing is unfamiliar to us, I think we understand something of it. Has anyone ever really blessed you? I mean, has anyone ever in a dire moment of your life just spoke powerful words into your heart and you felt like they were looking right into your soul? that there was like a giant window before you and people could see right into you. And they speak those words and it greatly changes you and gives you strength. I mean, has anyone ever experienced that? That's something like the power of blessing. And I've experienced that before. I've had moments where I've been very low and very discouraged. A lot of dark thoughts in my head. I remember one time talking about those things to a friend. And he just asked me a series of questions, and I responded. And he said, "Do you hear what you're saying? It sounds to me like you are called to keep doing this." And he says, "You are gifted, you are called, and you get back there and you serve in the name of Jesus Christ." So that was one of those moments where I was blessed. I felt my soul was laid bare and my friend could see every part of it, even those dark, ugly parts. And he spoke those words and it changed me forever and gave me strength and encouragement to keep going. If you've ever been blessed by someone like that, you will never forget it. Maybe God has called you to speak words of blessing into someone's life. So pray about that. Think about it. This week, think about a person who's in your life. And maybe you're going to be that person God is going to use to bless, to speak powerfully. Because there is power in blessings. And so even in our Western culture where we've watered down the word blessing, we do know something of it. Because God uses us in those ways still today. So there's the power of blessing, but there's also the craving for blessing. We all crave the type of blessing that a firstborn would have normally got. And we see that craving here in our passage. So later on in Genesis 27, we didn't read this, but this is after Jacob was blessed and given the promise that you're going to rule over nations and they're going to bow down to you. After that, starting in verse 30 and beyond, we see the fallout here that happens with Esau. And Esau is very upset. And Isaac is upset. So if you look at verse 33, it says that Isaac trembled very violently. You know, Isaac knows something significant happened with this. The blessing meant for Esau went to Jacob. Isaac trembles violently. And then look at verse 34. You see the craving for it by Esau. Verse 34, it says, "As soon as Esau heard the words of his father, he cried out with an exceedingly great and bitter cry and said to his father, 'Bless me, even me also, O my father.'" So Esau's in tears as he says these things. A bitter cry. Then Isaac explains what happens, that Jacob came deceitfully. And then in verse 36 at the end, Esau pleads again, "Have you not reserved a blessing for me?" Then Isaac answers in verse 37, "Behold, I've made him lord over you, and all of his brothers I have given to him for servants, and with grain and wine I have sustained him. What then can I do for you, my son?" Here's one more plea by Esau. "Have you but one blessing, my father? Bless me, even me also, O my father." And Esau lifted up his voice and wept. Esau knows his life has changed forever. He desires just one piece. Just give me 1 ounce of blessing, Father. And Isaac has nothing for him but to remain submissive to his brother. So Isaac craved the blessing. Or Esau craved the blessing. He acts like he needs the blessing. Esau wants the favor of his father. Esau wants the value of being the firstborn. Esau wants to feel loved. He wants a token from his father, some portion that might be left over. Esau wants the smile of his dad. The ache in Esau's heart echoes the ache in all of our hearts. Do we not all want the type of blessing that a firstborn would normally get? I mean, we all want to be told that we are important. We want to be told that we are favored and special. We want someone to speak over us and ensure that our lives will go well. All kinds of examples can prove that this is the ache of every human being. This is human nature. So, for instance, a child can enter something into the fair. And that child hopes to get first place. And if that child gets first place, that child feels great about himself. That child feels special, unique, different. The child likes the applause of the award given to him. But perhaps the child doesn't get any award. Nothing. And he feels, well, did anybody even see my creation here? And then maybe the child cries because the child doesn't feel accepted at that point. I felt something similar to this just yesterday. So there was the Homestead Games at the Homestead Fitness Center. And it was a short race, but you had to carry a bunch of weights or pull weights in different parts of the course. And I finished. I was somewhat proud of myself because I never flipped a tire before. But I got the worst time of everyone on course one. And I didn't dwell on it, but just for a moment it crept into my mind. I got the worst time of all of these people. There were people in their upper 50s doing this, and they were rocking it, and they blew me out of the water. So for a few moments, I felt, oh, what am I worth? I work out, I run all the time. What? I just wanted to be accepted. I wanted the applause of at least not being last place. Now, I've talked with empty nesters. They've said similar things. For the past 20 years of their life, they were giving to their kids, and they felt worth and value in what they gave to their kids. But now that their kids are gone out of the house, some of them feel directionless. They don't feel valued. Like, what can I contribute now to the world? I don't know what to do. It's that craving of acceptance in life. So it's something that all of us have to wrestle with in some degree or another. I watched a movie several months ago. It was called The Million Dollar Baby. It was based on a true story. It was another Clint Eastwood-type movie. And so Clint Eastwood, he was the boxer trainer. And then Hilary Swank, her character was the female boxer being trained by Clint Eastwood, the trainer. And she rises up the ranks despite being in her 30s. And she seems to be one of the best boxers there is. And then she finally lands a bout with the champion. And it's going to be a title match. And during that match, she's severely injured. And she becomes a quadriplegic. And she's there in the hospital wrestling with, what purpose does my life have? Do I have anything to offer the world anymore? And then being in that bed for months, she gets a bed sore, and that bed sore gets infected, and they have to amputate her leg. And that crushes her even further. And then she begs Clint Eastwood's character to just kill me, end my life. He's got certain injections and medicine that he could do it. And so he's like, why? Why would I end your life? And she said, I would rather die hearing the applause of the people than to die in nobody. Now, her assessment is not correct, but that's the ache of our hearts. She would rather die hearing the applause of people rather than dying a nobody. So this is the human heart, the universal desire that all people have. We all want blessing. We can all relate to Esau then. Give me a blessing. One author expresses this condition of the heart so well. He writes, quote, "The need to feel special is common to human beings. We want to know that we matter to others, We want to be seen. We strive to achieve some special status in the eyes of others. How we are viewed by others matters to us. One way of knowing that we are special is when people treat us differently than they treat others. When we are singled out for special treatment, given special privileges, receive special favors, we feel special. I think one of the reasons behind all of the depression we see in this culture is because people are desperate for blessing and are not getting it. Why is there so much social anxiety? It's because we desire blessing. We crave it, but are not getting it from good sources. So we all crave blessing. We all need blessing. It's how we're wired as people. So how do we get a powerful blessing? Is there any way that we can get a kind of blessing that the firstborn would get? Well, one way that we shouldn't look for blessing is like how Jacob looked for blessing. He did get it by being deceitful in the end, but that's not what he should have done. Jacob should have trusted in God's promise and receive it by grace. God had told Rebecca before they were born that Jacob is going to be the ruler over his brother. He is going to be the one through which the covenant promises are developed, and the line of the Messiah is going to eventually come. So Jacob already has that promise. He just needed to believe it and receive it by grace on God's own timing. But Jacob wanted to force God's hand. He feared that blessing could be lost. And so he devised a scheme with Rebekah, and then he lies. He puts goat skins on his arms because he's smooth-skinned and Esau is hairy. And he wears Esau's best clothes, so he smells like Esau, he feels like Esau. The only thing different is his voice. So what is Jacob doing? Jacob is pretending to be someone that he is not. Isaac was deceived by this ruse. Despite the differences in voice, Isaac still fell for it. So here is Jacob pretending to be Esau when he wasn't Esau. Well, I think of how so many of us are trying to get blessing, trying to get that affirmation, trying to get that favor of people, the smile of others upon us. We can try to be like someone that we are not. And so we can perhaps dress a certain way with our friends to get them to like us. Or we think that we have to perform a certain way in the sports field for people to accept us and like us. Or maybe when we're with our friends, we adopt a certain persona, where we just act a little bit differently or talk differently to try to fit in with everyone else. And so we go to church on Sunday, we try to be spiritual, but then once we start getting in groups of people or outside of church, then we're completely different. All to try to get that favor of other people. That's not how we should look for blessing. Because if you look to yourself, you're just going to find more deficiencies that will only cause you more despair. And trying to pretend like you've got certain gifts when you don't is going to blow up, and you're going to feel miserable, and then people are going to get hurt. I mean, someone might be looking for that acceptance and craving, so they lie about their gifts and they join certain functions in the community or even church. But you're not gifted for it, but yet you're blowing it all up just because you want the applause of people. So don't look for blessing like how Jacob did. So how do we get it? Well, Esau lost his birthright and he lost the blessing. And we feel the ache of Esau's heart because it's our own ache. But yet there was a possibility for Esau to get a blessing. Esau's blessing was to submit to Jacob. Esau's blessing was to find his identity in Jacob's leadership. Esau's blessing was to look for salvation through another person. And that is how we get our blessing too. We need to look at someone who is the greater Jacob, the fulfillment of Jacob. And from Jacob's line comes Jesus Christ, our Savior and our Messiah. And through Jesus, we get the blessing that a firstborn would get. So I think of Ephesians 1. It says, we are adopted as sons and daughters. Then later on in Ephesians, it speaks about how we all share in the heavenly inheritance. Jesus is God's only begotten Son, the eternal Son. We're adopted, but yet we share everything that Jesus has. That's why Ephesians also says that right now we are seated with Him in the heavenly realms. When do we sit with Him in heaven? Not just when we die, but right now because of our union with Him. Everything that is Jesus's, everything that belongs to Him has been given to us. Nothing withheld, no spiritual blessing kept from us. It is all ours in Christ. And what's so amazing about this is that we are messed up, just like all the characters in our story, and yet we still get the blessing of a firstborn from our great God and Father. A lot of us can be messed up like Isaac. We're discontent with our lives. So Isaac was discontent with the promise. He didn't like that Jacob was going to have a better life than Esau. And so Isaac was trying to change that. Well, we can be messed up too. Not content with God's will for our lives. Not content with the gifts He has given us. And maybe He's called us to submit to other people. Well, we don't want to do that. We want to be our own person. So we rebel against God, or we resist Him and push back against Him. We can be messed up just like Isaac. We can be messed up like Esau, just craving that blessing, pleading, because we want that approval. And there's that hole in our hearts. We can be messed up like Rebecca, conniving, meddling, manipulating. We can be messed up like Jacob, being a deceiver, trying to force God's hand. Jacob also was trying to force God's hand to work. I want the blessing now. I don't want to wait to receive it by grace. So maybe we see ourselves and all of these characters in some way. And yet despite all of our sin, despite all of our mess, through Jesus Christ, we've got the greater blessing and all of the things of heaven are ours. We have the favor of the Father. He says to us, I love you. 1 John 4, verse 9 through 11. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent His only Son into the world that we might live through Him. God says, I delight in you. Zephaniah 3, verse 17. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you by His love. He will exult over you with loud singing. And we've got God's direct blessing. And this blessing is true for us in Christ. Number 6, verse 24. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. Our God is smiling at us. His face is upon us. We have the favor of sonship or daughtership, and God will forever keep us safe in our salvation. He is so gracious to us. All the things we enjoy in life come from His hand. We don't deserve it, but it's from Him and His blessing. We have real peace because in Christ the battle has been won. We are saved. We look ahead to eternal life. And so Satan cannot harm us. Our sins cannot threaten our eternal destiny. Though suffering comes our way, we've got the promise that all things will work for the good of those who love Him. So there is nothing to fear. We look at our passage that Esau pleaded for a blessing. And Isaac basically says, I can't reverse this. I can't take what I gave Jacob and just give it to you. It's an irrevocable blessing to Jacob. Well, our blessing in Jesus is irrevocable because it was accomplished by the shed blood of Christ. So God has pronounced blessing over us. He has declared our destiny. And that can't be taken away. And so God treats us like firstborn children. And this truth is life-changing and makes a difference for how we live. I think of how many of us are craving blessing, how the world is craving blessing. If that is you today, find it in Jesus. Believe in Him. Receive it. You don't have to do anything but receive it by grace through faith. There are some of us here who have received it. We know about it. But maybe we've forgotten what it's really all about. We've forgotten that we've got blessing from God. And we might fear that there might be nothing good left for us in life. Things are so bad right now, or things are so challenging. Is there anything left from God to give me? Remember, you've been blessed by God. You have a destiny that cannot be altered because God has declared it over you. Every time a blessing is pronounced at the end of the worship service, think about how God has blessed you and has powerfully shaped your future. So I may give the blessing of number 6 or the blessing at the end of 2 Corinthians, but every time you hear these things, be reminded you've got the privileges of a firstborn of God. You are chosen, you are loved, you are valued, and you have a destiny shaped to have heaven in it. He has spoken over you. His prophetic declaration cannot be revoked. There might be some people here today who have empty love tanks. Maybe you haven't been receiving the affirmation of your friends. You feel like your friends don't even know you. Or maybe your spouse has just not been there for you. And you are just empty, depleted. You wonder, how can you keep going? What love do you have in to give to other people? Because others have been just sucking you dry. You're like a leech then, looking for approval from other people, but it just hasn't been there. So that is you with that depleted love tank. Go to Jesus. Find rest in Him. You don't have to earn approval from Him. Receive His blessing by grace through faith. Own it in your heart and give up all of your striving to be someone that you are not. Be at peace with yourself. Find contentment with your lot in life, because in Christ you have everything. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we give you praise for Jesus and our salvation, that you smile upon us. You have given your blessing over us. Help us to take these words to heart, to own it in our hearts, because we face so many things. From discouragement, life doesn't go the way we want it to go. We want you to act now, but instead we have to wait. And we wonder, what good is there for us? But then we come to this passage, and we're pointed to the blessing we have in Jesus. So help us to cherish this blessing, and may it give us hope. May it give us encouragement and peace and strength to face the day. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.